Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 to 31 says that coming to Christ qualifies us to be partakers of God's wisdom. I like how the Apostle Paul addresses the church in Corinth. And when you read this passage, you can almost feel what Paul was feeling. He was talking to the church in Corinth. And remember, at this time, the church is a very, very marginalized subculture in the Jewish community. They didn't attract great people. There were all kinds of houseboys and maidservants and slaves and all kinds of people there. And Paul looks at them and he says, on the outside, they may not seem much, but these guys here, these slaves and houseboys, they are God's prized possession. And listen to how Paul addresses them. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. It says, for you, and remember, he's talking to all these people, houseboys and slaves and poor people and people who have not, don't have much. For he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, he didn't say not any, he says not many. In other words, some mighty are called, some noble are called, some brilliant people are called, but not many of them. So if you are mighty, you are noble, you are educated, you can be called. But Paul is talking to people who have nothing. He says, look at yourself. Not many mighty, not many noble, not are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. But of him are you in Christ, who became for us wisdom in God. Of him are ye in Christ. It is our being in Christ that makes us wise. It is our being in Christ that elevates us. Not who we are in the flesh, but who we are in Christ. Scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The most brilliant scientist that doesn't know Christ doesn't match you in wisdom. The most sophisticated philosopher who doesn't know Christ doesn't match you in wisdom. The richest man on this planet doesn't match the believer who lives on the streets. Because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Can you imagine that there is a flood taking place in a place, and everything is being destroyed, and there are rich men living in that land, billionaires living there, but the flood is coming, and the flood is going to kill them and wipe away everything, but they are just proud in their mansions and enjoying their money. At that time, the poor person in that land picks a boat and sits in that boat and leaves the land that has been destroyed. Questing. The poor man who had a boat, who left the land of destruction, and all the rich people in the land of destruction, who is wiser? That's what the Bible says. What shall it profit if you gain the whole world, but you have no boat to escape this condemnation that is coming? And the one who has the boat, he may not be rich, he may not be a philosopher, he may not have a mansion, but he's got the boat. And he was smart enough to leave the land of destruction whilst all the rich people stayed there and got destroyed. That boat, my friends, is not made by carpenters. That boat is called Jesus. And if you have him, you are greater, you are wiser, you are smarter, you are richer than anybody else who doesn't have Jesus. Because he is the wisdom of God. Of whom are you in Christ, who was made to us the wisdom of God? So Paul says to the Corinthian church, you know your calling. You know who you are. You know you are not much. And he describes the people God chooses, four kinds of people. Or if you look into the passage, that he calls them the things that be not. So there are four kinds of nothings. God chooses four kinds of nothings. The first is the foolish, those who are unsophisticated. God chooses us in our foolishness. He does not ask us to be wise before he chooses us. As a matter of fact, choosing him is the greatest wisdom of our lives. God does not ask you to be the smartest person before he chooses you. He chooses the foolish because he can make the foolish wise. He chooses the foolish to put to shame those who trust in their wisdom. Second, he chooses the weak, those who are powerless. In the days of power, these are people who have no power, they have no title, and he uses them. He chooses the base, those who are without honor, those who are at the base of life, at the bottom, no honor. What people call the low lives. And fourth, he chooses the despised, those who are neglected. And when God chooses them, he chooses these nothings to put to shame the somethings. That is the wisdom of God. He chooses a nothing David to put to shame a something Goliath. He chooses a nothing Gideon to put to shame the armies of the Midianites. He chooses a nothing Esther girl, an orphan girl living in the streets of Shushan, a refugee, nothing, and puts to shame an empire. God is not looking for somethings. He's looking for nothings. And if you are something, you make yourself nothing. And God will choose you in your nothingness and make you the wisdom of God and make you something. That is the wisdom of God. And when we have access to the wisdom of God, it is the greatest wisdom. And let's see how Jesus himself describes the wisdom we have in him. Luke chapter 11. Verse 31. Jesus is rebuking the people of his time. And listen to how he puts it. He says, the queen of Sheba, or the queen of the south, queen of Sheba, will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. I like how the Bible puts it, but in the New King James Version, it says a greater, but really in the original Greek, it's not a, but it is something greater. And I think the NIV renders it clearer. The NIV puts it and says, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Who is that something greater than Solomon? It's Jesus. But it's not just Jesus as a person alone. Because the wisdom of Christ is higher than Solomon's wisdom. Solomon's wisdom was great, but it did not stop him from acting foolishly. He was a man of wisdom. He wrote about wisdom, but he ended up marrying 700 wives and 300 concubines. If that is not the height of foolishness, I don't know what that is. Solomon was the one who warned people about the adulterous woman and married them. Solomon told you, if you pick an adulterous woman in your bosom, it's like fire, it's going to burn you. But he married 700 of them. Solomon's wisdom was not pure. It's good wisdom. We can live by it, but there is a greater than Solomon, and his name is Jesus. Solomon's wisdom was not for his personal life. When Solomon prayed for wisdom, he didn't pray for wisdom for his life. He prayed and said, God, when God asked him, what do you want? He says, I want wisdom, which is good. But what are you going to use the wisdom for? To rule the people. He didn't say, I want wisdom to guide my life or to rule my life. So Solomon's wisdom was professional, but not personal. There are people with great professional wisdom, run great companies, but their lives are a mess. A mess, mess, mess. How can a man who makes brilliant decisions in the boardroom make such a silly decision in his private life? Because they have Solomon's wisdom. It doesn't work on your inside, it works on your outside. But in Christ, the wisdom of Christ works on your inside. It's something on the inside working on the outside. It changes you from within before you see it externally. A greater than Solomon is here. The wisdom of Christ is greater than Solomon's. The kingdom of God that Christ came to establish is greater than Solomon's kingdom. Solomon's kingdom was built on compromise. He didn't fight battles. He did not grow his conquests by his kingdom by conquests. He grew his kingdom by compromise. One of the reasons why Solomon married 700 people is because he entered into political alliance with any nation. Whereas David grew his kingdom by fighting, Solomon grew his kingdom by compromising. Married everybody that God says don't marry, so they will all be nice to him. But in the kingdom of God, we don't compromise for greatness. We stand on the truth, and God promotes us because we honor him. The kingdom of God is greater than Solomon's kingdom. Third, the glory of Christ is superior to Solomon's glory. Solomon's glory was in money and material possession. Christ's glory is spiritual. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. A greater than Solomon is here. Something greater than Solomon is here. That is why, as Christians, when we are praying for wisdom, we don't ask God, give me the wisdom of Solomon. No, because we have something far better. We have the wisdom of Christ. For of him are you in Christ, who has been made to us wisdom. Of him are ye in Christ, who has been made to us wisdom. If you want to be wise, there are many people who can inspire you, challenge you. But if you want to be wise, you start with the source of wisdom, Jesus Christ, the one whose wisdom is greater than Solomon. And if you ask him to come into your heart, then wisdom comes to live inside you. And wisdom begins to guide you. And if you listen to him, you may be foolish now, but you'll be wise. You may be base now, but you will be strong. You may be weak, but you'll be mighty. You may be despised, but he will lift you up. Because his wisdom will pick you from the lowest level of life and lift you to a place of glory and honor. That is what the wisdom of God does. And today, as we bring Jesus, or we remember the birth of Jesus, his incarnation, when he took on flesh, you're going to have a great opportunity to receive the wisdom of God in your life. Jesus came and paid the price. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to die for your sins. You don't need to be punished for your sins. He paid it all. And all you need to do is to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did for me, and I ask you, come into my life. And as simple as that is, God has chosen such a simple step to bring salvation to mankind. There are people paying money for salvation. There are people traveling to long distances on pilgrimage for salvation. There are people chasing all kinds of things for salvation. There are people drinking anointing oil and holy oil and getting sprinkled for salvation. There are people praying in little hills and mountains. And he says, what are you praying for? I want salvation. People traveling all over the world. But the way is very simple. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wisdom of man. The way of the cross is the wisdom of God. And when you accept Jesus into your life, he changes your life, because the Bible says, old things will pass away and all things will become new. Today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to be born again. Today is a good day for Jesus to come into your heart. Today is a good day for salvation to enter you. Today, as we await the birth of Jesus, you can say, as we receive Jesus into the world at Christmas, I received him into my heart. And in that place, he became my wisdom. There are people who go to church and think, oh, well, once I go to church, then I have salvation. If I go to church a lot, I will be saved. And if I really go to Otterbill's church, then I know I'm really a Christian. I wish that was so. But coming to my church doesn't make you a Christian. I myself, my faith is in Jesus. So if my faith is in Jesus, why is your faith in me? If my faith is in Jesus, then your faith must be where my faith is, in Jesus Christ, as the one who saved me by his shed blood, died for me on the cross, rose again, the one I put my faith in, the one who saved me from my sins. If you want to have what I have, then you have to have what I have, the man Jesus. It's not about attending church. Salvation is a man, and his name is Jesus. And you must receive him into your heart. At a certain point in your life, you must know he's the only way. And the only way to salvation is in Christ Jesus. And there are some people who made that decision some time ago, but they have backslided. They have turned away. They haven't pursued the journey. And so they started and they fell and they stumbled. I'm also making an invitation to you. Those who want to receive Jesus, those who have received him before but are not living for him. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in picking the boat and leaving the island. The shame is in staying there and getting swallowed. And Jesus is that boat.